Thank you, Glenn and team, band. Let's pray together again. Father, we're confident of your presence today, and we know that you love us. We're confident of that. You've expressed your love to us through the giving of your Son. Forgiveness and grace and mercy overflow for us and your love. Today, as we talk about things that hold us back, things that keep us hostage, help us to identify those in which really speak to us individually. That especially in terms of our thinking and the way we think, that if there's something that's holding us hostage, holding us back, help us today to make the decision to break free. That you would change us from the inside first. Change the way we think. So, Father, help us honor you with our lives. Help us to honor you with our minds. Jesus, we love you. For it's in your name we pray. Amen. This morning, I want us to kind of conclude our thoughts over the past several weeks. If we've been in this series called Hostage, we've looked at some things that hold us back, that keep us literally from experiencing the best that God has for us. We've talked about habits and how habits can keep us from experiencing God's best for us. We've talked about the past, that somehow just the memory of the past, whether we are stuck or frozen in the past, prohibits us from living out the future that God has for us. Today I want us to talk about our mindset. It's the way we think. It's how we process that hold us back from literally experiencing God's best. Now, you might be asking, well, what do you mean by mindset? How is it that mindset affects literally how we live our life, or perhaps even holds us back from experiencing God's purpose in our life and God's best? I want to share with you a list. Now, I'm going to make a disclaimer first, and please hear this. This list came from a site that I normally actually have never frequented before. The name of the site is called All Women's Talk, okay? So I'm just doing that as a disclaimer up front. You know, it's not a site that I go to on a regular basis or anything like that, but I was looking for some list about attitude and mindset, and this was one of the best lists I found to really just kind of process mindset and attitude and how we think. So if we think we might be in the market for a new mindset or a new attitude or new process or way of thinking, maybe this list will help us determine whether or not we really should be in the market for that. So I've got eight things just to briefly throw at you this morning. This is a list that tells us or identifies for us if we are in need for a new mindset or a changed mindset. Number one, people irritate you. Now, I'm not just talking about one person or two people that irritate you. We've all got those rubs in relationships from time to time. But I'm talking about everybody. I mean, you just see them walking down the hall, and not just one, but all of them, and they all irritate you when they're coming towards you in the hallway. You're just irritated with everybody. That could be a really good indicator that you need to change, okay? Here's the second one. Nothing ever goes your way. In other words, you're thinking that everything that happens in life, that nothing goes right for me. Everything always goes wrong. Could be that you need to be in the market for a mindset change. Number three, you're bitter at other people's success. That people that are succeeding around you or perhaps improving or doing better than you are succeeding in some form or fashion, and yet you're bitter at them because they're succeeding at this point or this juncture in life, and perhaps maybe you're not. And so this mindset, there may be a need for change of mindset. Okay, number four, you believe you're always right. Okay, now I realize that I know that just really got 8:30 wrong this morning, okay? This idea that you're always right, that you've got the I'm right button on everything in life, and even when you're wrong, you're right, okay? That's just that if you always think that you're right, maybe it's time for a new mindset. Number five, you always find the cynical angle. You always find the cynical angle. Cynicism literally just lives and breathes out through your life. Every corner, every juncture, every comment, cynicism. Number six, you refuse to give in or compromise. You refuse to give in or compromise. In other words, you refuse to say, hey, I'm wrong, or you refuse to say, hey, let's work on a solution together, or you refuse to let some other option other than the one that you know that you're right about, you know, come into play. So refusing to give in or to compromise. Number seven, you get really, really angry every time something goes wrong. Now, the realistic aspect is, you know, we're all going to get angry from time to time. We all do. But if at every time everything doesn't go your way that you get mad and angry and throw things and yell things and stomp your feet, maybe there's a need for an attitude change. Number eight, someone you know has commented about your attitude. Maybe we'll exclude spouses on that, but somebody else that you know has commented about your attitude. In other words, that perhaps you might want to think about a change in attitude or a change in your mindset. If any of these resonate with you, then perhaps maybe our time this morning is exactly for you. God has you here for a purpose and a reason as we talk about the change of mindset, because when we talk about these next five mindsets, any one of these five can keep you from experiencing God's best in your life. It can keep you and hold you back from experiencing what God wants to do in your life. Mindsets. Let me share a passage of Scripture with you. It really becomes the basis for our list of our five and how we navigate them. Proverbs 4:23 says this, above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. Now, the writer here believes this is very important, because what he says is above everything else. All the other stuff on your to-do list, this is at the top of the to-do list. Guard your heart. The idea is that you stand watch, that you are careful with your heart. Now, the idea of the heart, again, is not the organ that's in your chest that's pumping blood through your body. But it is seen and understood that the heart was the place of thinking. It was the inner self. It was the inner man. It was the inner woman. It is where decisions are being made. So what he's saying is to guard, stand guard, pay attention, watch the way in which you make decisions, watch the way in which you're processing, watch the frameworks by which you're working with, watch the attitude, watch the mindset. You've got to guard yourself against any mindset or any attitude or any framework or way of thinking that would interfere with you living out your life according to God's plan. Above all else, guard your heart. For out of your heart, for it is literally the wellspring of life. The idea of wellspring of life is that your heart has this capacity for joy, this capacity for peace, this capacity for freshness. The idea of this wellspring is fresh water, not stagnant water, not dirty water, not water that's been polluted or corrupted, but that it is fresh water. That's why our heart is so important, that we guard the process by which we make decisions. We guard the thinking, the inner self, the inner man, for it is the wellspring. It is the capacity of joy. It is the capacity of peace. It is capacity for freshness that comes from that heart. So if there's ever a case to be made for the importance of mindset and the importance of attitude, it's Proverbs 4. So let me take a look at this list with you. Just a five mindsets that really are the common denominators. They're the common things that are happening out there that are holding people back. And I relate to some of these myself. The first one that is the mindset that holds us back is what we call the negative mindset. It's the negative mindset. And when we talk about negativism, we're talking about communicating bad outlooks on people, situations, and circumstances, as if we walk around with a cloud over us the whole time. That we are always negative about things. We're negative about people, about situations, circumstances, opportunities. We're always talking negatively about it. Now, I give you an illustration of this, and the Bible's full of illustrations of negative talk and negative thinking and negative processing. And one of those is found in Numbers chapter 11. And in Numbers chapter 11, verses 4 through 6, it's a situation where you have the Israelites, and they're complaining, they're negative about their situation and what's going on. And what you'll notice is it says the rabble with them. I like the word rabble. The rabble's kind of an interesting word. It's kind of the disorderly crowd. You always have a few of those in the crowd, right? The disorderly ones. And it's saying that, thank you for that affirmation. the rabble, the disorderly crowd with them began to crave other foods. The idea was that they lusted after other foods than what they had. They wanted something that they didn't have. And so what they did is they began to think about the things that they used to have. So the rabble with them began to crave other foods. And again, in other words, this is a repetitive action by the Israelites. If they knew how to do one thing well, they knew how to be negative and complain. And again, the Israelites started wailing and said, if only we had meat to eat. Now notice this. We remember the fish that we ate in Egypt at no cost. Disclaimer at the bottom of the screen. Remember, you were in captivity in Egypt. Last time I heard you were crying because you lived in Egypt. And now you're wailing about food and thinking back and looking back on Egypt and looking back and thinking, oh, that fish that we ate at no cost and all the other stuff, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic. But now, we have lost our appetite. The word for appetite is strength. We've lost our strength. Notice how they say this. We never see anything but this manna. Do you picture the negativism that's running through the veins of the Israelites? See, they're looking at what they have and they're contrasting it with what they had. And now they're upset and complaining and they're negative about that in which God is providing them. And they're thinking about all the stuff that they experienced back in captivity. This perhaps is the number one lesson. If there's ever a lesson to say, quit thinking negatively, quit processing negatively, get rid of the negative mindset. If there's ever one reason to do that, is this one principle. And this isn't always. There are very few always in life. But negative mindsets, negative attitudes, negative thinking always keep you from seeing God's work around you. Always. And that's exactly what happened. Oh, they noticed the manna, but they didn't know it was God's provision. All of a sudden, they're recognizing, oh, if we only had all this. And so this complaining mode, as they're thinking about the fish and the cucumbers and the leeks and all the other stuff back in Egypt, they missed the fact that God was providing for them on a daily basis. Listen, are you thinking negatively? Do you operate from a negative mindset? If there's ever a reason to stop, it's the reason to stop thinking negatively is so that you can witness, that you can see, that you can observe all that God is doing around you. Because He is. There are little movements and little pieces, big stuff that He's doing around us all the time. And if we can quit from thinking negatively and operating from a negative mindset, we can see Him work. Negativism, we talk about that. Another mindset that gets in the way is what I call critical thinking or critical attitudes or mindset. And when I'm talking about critical, there's a difference between being critical and the idea of constructive criticism. The idea of being critical is that you are always finding fault in a person, a condition, or a circumstance. And the idea is that you always focus on the fault. Whereas constructive criticism may identify the fault, but it works in such a way to encourage or to build up. That's why Paul in 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, therefore encourage one another and build each other up. The idea is that we are to be about building one another, encouraging one another, but not tearing one another down. And I tell you, if there's one I relate to, It's this one. I'll tell you why. I've shared with before, you know, I'm type A personality. And I bite my tongue an awful lot. Actually, I wish I bit my tongue more than I bite it. But you give me a circumstance, I will point out the fault to you very quickly. It's a spiritual gift sometimes. But yeah, not really. I'm just joking about that. Okay, don't walk around thinking, oh, I didn't see that in the Bible. Spiritual gift, criticism. Ha, I got it. Yeah. But our goal is not to tear one another down, but our goal should be to build one another up and encourage each other. And so a critical mindset can sometimes exclude us from God's plan, because God will always find the person to encourage. God will always find the person to build up. And if our mode of operation is always to criticize, God will put us on the shelf. God will put us on the side. Because God's plan is that people are built up and encouraged. Another one that sticks out in my mind in terms of mindsets that get in the way, it's what I call a measuring or comparing mindset. A measuring or comparing mindset is a mindset that would seek to compare myself with somebody else, point out their faults in such a way that I can justify myself or rationalize my own problems. We do that by saying, wow, I'm glad I don't do that. Wow, I'm glad I don't have that problem. Wow. They really need help. We've all done that from time to time. And the idea is this whole plank and speck in the eye argument. It's the whole concept of judging. And I do want to go on record to tell you that Christians should judge Christians. Absolutely. In other words, there would be no need for encouragement and building one another up if we weren't judging each other. At the same time, there would be no need for the last chapter in the letter to the Galatian church, because it's when one has sinned or fallen among you. There would be no need for church discipline. There would be nothing in the scripture about church discipline if we weren't to judge one another. But there's a big difference between judging to criticize and judging to build. And so the challenge for us is to learn that when we operate in our mindset that we don't compare ourselves or our actions with somebody else in order to justify ourselves or rationalize our sin. So we think about rationalization, measuring, comparing. The fourth one is ungratefulness. Ungratefulness, that's thanklessness, that's unappreciative attitude or ideas. The idea, what does ungratefulness look like? Ungratefulness can simply be an unappreciative expression or not recognizing or not simply identifying this attitude of thanksgiving. For example, there are some things in the Psalms especially are great, great passages about giving thanks and thanksgiving. One of them, Psalm 100, verses 3 through 5, says, "Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture." And it says, Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name. For the Lord is good, and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues to all generations." Sometimes I think our thankfulness is too small, because we thank Him for all the stuff that maybe He's providing for us, but we forget to thank Him for who He is. I think sometimes being thankful is about entering His gates and praising Him and praising His name for who He is, for He is good, and His love endures forever, and His faithfulness continues through all generations. Having a thankful, grateful heart to God for what He's doing, but most importantly, for who He is. The last one that comes to mind in this list is a doubting mindset, a doubting mindset. And that's the mindset that decides at one point in time there may have been faith and trust, but for some reason, any number of circumstances, that doubt has kind of moved in or has creeped in. There's a great example in Mark chapter 9 that you have of a dad who comes with his son to the disciples, and he brings his son to them, and the full expectation, anticipation, is that the disciples are going to be able to heal his son from this evil spirit, but the disciples can't do that. They can't. It doesn't happen. The man's perplexed and bothered. The disciples are bothered as well. And Jesus moves into the scene, and he comes to Jesus, and he explains what's going on, that here's his son, and he brought his son to his disciples, and his disciples couldn't heal the son, couldn't cast the spirit out. And so his conversation turns to Jesus. And he makes some observations about Jesus and the situation. He explains what's happened. He's being thrown into a fire and all that kind of stuff. But then he says in the latter part of verse 22, "But if you can do anything." And the idea is this attitude of doubt, if you can. Like, I'm not really sure you can. But Jesus, if you can do anything, would you take pity on us and help us? Jesus' response, if you can. It's almost indignant, though it's not, but it's this idea of do you know that who you're talking to? Do you know what I'm capable of doing? I think sometimes we find ourselves in circumstances in life that we begin to doubt God's provision, God's ability. And I think we need to be reminded of who it is that we're talking to. Who it is that we've said we're following. As we come to him that question, if you can, Jesus says, everything is possible for him who believes. Right now, if you are operating out of a mindset of doubt, I want you to claim this verse today. And I want you to claim the words of Jesus. Everything is possible for him who believes. Every opportunity, every option, every possibility is possible for him who believes. Immediately, the boy's father exclaimed, "I do believe. Help me to overcome my unbelief." One thing I know about a doubting mindset is when our mindset is plagued with doubt and it's our orientation, that oftentimes we miss the opportunity to see God work. Because what happens is that we don't trust him enough to step out. We don't trust him enough to risk from our end, even though it's not a risk from his. And we don't give God an opportunity to simply be God. When I look at all of these mindsets, all five of these mindsets, I see these as being the typical, the overriding number. I mean, you could probably add more to this list. There are probably more mindsets that get in the way, that hold us hostage. But I think there is this negative mindset, this critical mindset, this comparing mindset, this ungrateful mindset, and this doubting mindset, that each of these mindsets hold us hostage, that keep us from experiencing the best that God has for us. Today, if you're plagued by one of these, if this is your orientation, the way in which you're thinking, I want you to break free today. I want you to break loose today. And the reason I want you to do that is because it is possible in Christ. It is possible to break free from mindsets that hold us back. And the reason it's possible to break free is because God says it is in his word. There's so many passages that deal with this whole concept of repenting and turning. If you're plagued by one of these mindsets, I would tell you today, it's time to repent. It's time to turn around and turn away from the way you've been thinking and choosing today, telling God, "God, today I am going to think differently. Instead of negatively, I'm going to think positively. Instead of critical, I'm going to think affirming. Instead of doubting, I'm going to think believing." And choose to think differently. I think that's a reason why Paul in Philippians 4 tells us this. He says, "Finally, brothers," and this is the core challenge, "finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, If anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. And the God of peace will be with you. Do you know that is a promise from God's word? And for some, we are one decision, one step away from realizing God's promise. Today, repent from the way you've been thinking. Make a decision to change the way you're thinking. And begin the process of thinking differently. That means when you're thinking negatively and you have these negative thoughts, and maybe you'll have them as you're leaving church this morning. I can't believe that preacher said that. Well, that may just be critical. I don't know. But anyhow, but negative thoughts, negative thinking, negative ideas as you're walking out, as you're leaving, even afternoon in the day, even tomorrow as you're at work, at office. Remember Proverbs 4, guard your heart. Stand guard at your heart and realize that that negative thinking is keeping you from seeing God work around you. And automatically tell yourself, in God's power and God's strength, that today I will not think negatively. Today I will think positively. And you think and find the positive thing to think about. Before you open up your mouth tomorrow at work and you've got the critical idea coming across, it's okay to bite your tongue. Don't bite too hard. You may be at patient first tomorrow afternoon. But it's okay to bite your tongue and stop and think, okay, God, right now as I'm looking at this, I you know this ain't right. <You know? clears throat> This. But God, I need you to put the right thing out of my mouth to build up and to encourage. And don't say a word until the words of encouragement and the words that build come out of your mouth. Change the way you think. Change the mindset. Because when we think this way, whatever is true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, or praiseworthy, and we put this into practice, the things that we're learning or receiving or that we've heard, and we're putting them into practice, we're living out truth in our life. There is something about peace that shows up, resides, and stays on the front porch and in the house with us. Because that's the promise, this peace that comes. Do you know that there is no peace in a negative mindset? In a critical mindset, in a comparing mindset, there is no peace. There is no peace in a doubting mindset, an ungrateful mindset. You know, it's interesting, Paul says in Ephesians 4, he says, surely you heard of him and were taught of him in accordance to the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to the former way of life to put off the old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Let Christ remake your attitude. Let Christ remake your mind. And be released today. Be released from being a hostage. A hostage to mindsets. My whole desire for these past 3 weeks is that there would be people, a part of the Cool Spring family, those attending, those attenders, that would hear a message of freedom. It is for freedom that Christ made us free. And I want for each of us to know that freedom, to live in that freedom. To be released from habits, to be released from our past, and to be released from our mindset. That we would live in peace. It's possible. Christ promises it. Will you take him up on his promise today? Would you pray with me? Father, we recognize today that mindsets are very real. We all struggle with them to one degree or another. And so today, I know that there's some folks that are crying out for freedom today. So Father, I pray that you would help them to think about the things that you want them to think about. To adopt a mindset that would build and encourage. To think in such a way that would honor you. So Lord, we're trusting you to do that. We're trusting you to do a new work in us, in the way we think and the way we process in our mindsets today. That Father, we would know true freedom to see you at work, to be a part of you working, and to notice it all along. Jesus, we love you. For it's in your name we pray. Amen. This morning, we're going to stand and sing. We call that an invitation time. It's actually an altar call, an invitation that it's your opportunity to respond to what God is doing in your life. Maybe this week God has spoken to you in some ways about your fellowship of Him. And maybe that fellowship piece had something to do with where you need to be grounded and identified with. I believe with all of my heart that every believer, every Christian needs to be a part of a local community. And when I say a part, I don't mean a part in such a way that just an attender piece, but I think in an engagement piece. Cool Spring is all about living connected. Connected to each other, connected to our community, but most importantly, connected to Christ. We do that in three unique ways. We link, we learn, and we live. You need to link today. So I want to encourage you. If you're without a church home and you're just looking and seeking and God's saying, hey, this is where I want you to be. Would you come this morning? We're going to stand and sing, and be your opportunity to come this morning. Just step up, meet me here in the front. Simply indicate your desire to be a part of Cool Spring. But most importantly is that decision to trust Christ. Remember that word I used, repent, about repenting the way we think? See, when we choose to follow Christ, we literally are choosing to repent. We're choosing to turn from what we were following before, the plans we had before, all the stuff we were doing before. And it's choosing to follow Him. Repent is a great word, man. It's not a bad word. It's about choosing from going to one direction into a new direction and choosing to follow Christ. Jesus loves you. God sent His Son for you. He loves you with an incredible, enduring love. Even in our most unlovable state, He still loves us. If you have never placed your faith and trust and chosen to follow Christ, would you choose to receive His love today and choose to follow Him today? Believing He is God's Son, He died on the cross for your sins, He's the only one that can forgive you, that He will give you life, both now and forever. You need to know Jesus today. If you don't, I'm going to invite you to come. As we're standing and singing, you come meet me here in the front. Just simply say, I want to trust in Jesus today. I want to give my life to Him. You come today, making the right decision to follow Him. So would you stand with me? Glenn, would you lead us today? You come as God leads today.